Over the last couple of months, academic fraud has become an important topic of discussion at the NCAA. I have some pretty strong personal opinions about some of the things that have transpired, and I'm sure my guest does as well. Dr. Brand, how are you this morning?
Good to talk to you, Josh.
I appreciate you being here to discuss some of these important issues about academic fraud. Can you explain a little bit of what's gone on in the past 3 or 4 months?
What we've discovered, unfortunately, is that there's academic fraud at the secondary school level, which in fact has come to resemble some of the problems we've had in the past at the university level. These are diploma mills. What it is you buy a degree, and colleges is called a matchbook degree, and we've got a pretty good handle on it at the college level, but we've just discovered how extensive it is on the secondary school or prep school level. Investigative reporting by the New York Times brought to light, as well as some investigative work done by the Southeastern Conference.
How big a problem is this?
We don't know how big a problem it is. We've isolated a large handful of such schools. I suspect it's much larger than that, but we just don't have a handle on it. We're right now getting into the problem.
How are we going to figure out?
Well, we have unscrupulous people who have taken advantage of the system and have been selling degrees, frankly, for a few $100. You're not required to go to class, take tests, or even show that you're literate to pass. How we're going to deal with it is that the NCAA, just this April, is going to pass some emergency legislation, some new rules, that you keep it in check as much as we possibly can. We'll even undergo site visits of some of these schools. But we also expect that the other groups that are involved in making sure that this fraud stops become involved, namely the admissions office from each university. They too have to see who they're admitting, whether they're student athletes or not. And this is fraud. This is a crime committed against the people of a state. And so we expect law enforcement, both local and statewide, to become involved. In fact, we've seen that. We had one case in University High in the state of Florida, which has been closed down because of the Attorney General's office there. They were not only graduating or selling degrees to student athletes, but to many other people as well. And we found out of that because of the investigative reporting.
Before we get to the admissions offices a little bit, can we talk about how prospective student athletes, become eligible?
They have to pass a certain minimum standard at the NCAA level, which is checked by a national clearinghouse. And that includes the number of core courses they take and the grade point average they have, as well as the SAT scores. They have to do that in a way that's legal and compatible with good educational practices. What's happened in these prep schools is that it's not good educational practices. These are private, so-called private institutions, and so no city or state or federal government has any check on them. For many states, if you're not a public institution, a public high school, you don't have to be certified or accredited in any way.
Now, one of the things that has gone around in my head is how some of these prospective student athletes were able to get through the clearinghouse, having went from one school to another in their last semester?
The transcripts did not reflect actually what was going on. This is fraud. And what has happened is that we now have to find a way to catch those who are going to fraudulent schools. Not every prep school is bad. Some of them are superb. Some of them very, very difficult. Some of them prepare people with the highest SAT scores for Ivy League schools. But there are others, fly-by-night institutions, frankly, that aren't doing that job at all.
You've put together a committee to deal with some of these issues. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We've asked Vice President Kevin Lennon to chair a group that includes college presidents, admissions officers, commissioners, others who are engaged in this problem. We're not going to wait long. We've put this on a fast track. So by the end of April, we'll have a great deal of emergency legislation in place. Any high school student who is attending one of these schools in the hope of getting through the NCAA clearinghouse and playing next year better think twice and figure out another route, because we're clamping down immediately.
But this also brings to light, as you mentioned, the admissions offices. Even if the prospective student athlete is deemed eligible, that doesn't mean that these schools need to let them in.
You're absolutely right about that. All we do is set absolutely minimum standards, which we think will be important for a student to succeed in college. But there's great diversity amongst our colleges, and so it takes more than minimum standards in many of them, vast majority of them, frankly, to succeed. And so what we expect is every admissions office to be able to set the standards for what it would take for any student, athlete, or not to succeed in that. And so it's a shared responsibility, in part from the NCAA, to set the minimum standards, and then the admissions office to make sure that those who they admit have a genuine chance of getting an education.
You were the president of a couple of high-profile institutions, both academically and athletically. What did you tell your admissions offices about student-athletes and academic qualifications?
Well, we had the same admission standards for student-athletes and non-student-athletes in both of those institutions, which was absolutely critical. We want to make sure that any student-athlete that came in had an opportunity to graduate. And so I think we followed that standard. In fact, just to brag a little bit, Indiana University had 100% graduation rate of its basketball players this past year.
That's phenomenal. This goes a little bit, though, with academic reform, everything coming together at the same time, kind of reforming intercollegiate athletics.
There's no question about that. Admission is part of academic reform. If you don't admit people who can do the job, and only those who could do the job, then I think you're bound to have a bad graduation rate. So the admissions office has to represent the standards of that university. I think that's incredibly important.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing some of your thoughts about academic reform and academic fraud with us. We appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to Mondays with Miles, which can be found on the NCAA blog, AAZone.com, every Monday morning. If you'd like to subscribe, you can find our podcast on iTunes. Thanks for joining us.